Oh, well, congratulations on making it over there. And are you going to be there for both European games?
Yes. Yeah. It's quite a 2-week trip.
Right. Well, let's first of all, we'll get into what's going on with the Vikings, but let's talk about the Minnesota Lynx, who lose last night 89-83 against the Phoenix Mercury in overtime. Lynx established a big lead, couldn't hold on to it in the second half, and they lose in overtime. Your thoughts, Jim?
That shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen with a veteran, you know, cohesive, mature team that is really knows how to figure things out. They've been winning games in the second half in the playoffs, and they absolutely choked one away yesterday. Got really nothing from Bridget Carlton, got nothing from the bench. You know, their best players played well. The rest, their supporting cast did not play well. I think this is a game where Dejanay Carrington would have helped them. You know, she's been through playoff series before. So the kind of their young and experienced, lesser-known players didn't play well. Heidemann, who had a tremendous second half of the season, didn't play well. And Phoenix, you know, that's a fierce team. They are great competitors. They are very physical. They get after you. And the Lynx did not stand up to it yesterday.
So late in the game, Jim, the Lynx are up 3. The clock starts running down on Phoenix. Is there a point where I know some strategies, and I'm not saying that the Lynx are wrong for what they did, but some strategies that we're now seeing is that you foul to put them at the line as opposed to allow them to make attempt a 3. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, we've been having this debate ever since the 3-point line came in. You know, what's the best strategy there? You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think there's a, you know, it's kind of like punting or going for it. To me, it's not just about a philosophy. It's more about the situation, what players are involved, what the exact situation is. And frankly, I was on a plane when the game was being played, so I didn't watch it live. And I try to first guess those things. I can't first guess that one because I wasn't watching it live. I really, you know, my thing is there are strategies you can think are smart that are terrible for the game. And I think fouling people to keep them from getting off a shot, I just don't like that. There's also the possibility you foul them and they you know, get the shot up while you're fouling them. And all of a sudden you give them 3 free throws. So I just don't love the fouling play. I'd rather see people play straight up defense, you know, guard the 3-point line, force them to go inside. You know, that's always been my feeling on it.
Jim, so now they go to Phoenix for game 3. That will be on Friday. No, we know there's going to be a game 4. That will be at noon on Sunday, also in Phoenix. So is this series? I mean, I guess we could end up seeing the series go, you know, a lengthy, maybe even up to game 5. What do you think about this matchup with the Mercury for the Lynx?
Well, I've been saying all along, I thought that I think the Lynx wanted New York for emotional reasons. I think the Lynx wanted New York for strategic and matchup reasons. I think the Lynx would have handled New York in 3 or 4 games. Phoenix, as I said, is a much different animal. They're very physical. When Savali plays well, they become a very difficult team to play. They have Dawana Bonner coming off the bench. Alyssa Thomas is a wrecking ball. And, you know, the Lynx are just not that athletic. They don't really have anybody who can just straight up guard Alyssa Thomas. She can just run people over. The Lynx are not a physical team. The Lynx are a finesse team, a very intelligent team. And they're dealing with a team that's just better for playoff brawling than they are. So I always thought this was a tough matchup. I picked the Lynx to win in 5 games. I'll stick with that. But I did not think this would be an easy series.
Jim, the Twins last night, they win 4-1 against the Texas Rangers. Zebby Matthews looks solid. He goes 7 innings, allowed just 1 earned run. That was a home run in the first inning. He kind of needed this. He had been struggling lately with his starts. What are your thoughts on Zebby?
Well, you said it. He needed it. He hasn't been just struggling. He's been horrific. He's been, you know, why is this guy in the big leagues bad? So he needed that. And, you know, the Rangers have a pretty good lineup, and we know it's in there. He has stuff. He has velocity. He has spin rate. He has variety of pitches. He, you know, before he started getting hammered in the major leagues, he was known for his composure and his control and his command. You know, and that's why there's such a big gap between the minors and the majors is, you know, yeah, you can have control and command. You come up, throw control and command over the plate and he gets hit 500 feet. You're not going to throw that pitch anymore. So he needed it. And, You know, as we keep on saying about these games, the games are meaningless. The performances are not. They need Keuchel, Lee, Royce Lewis, and the young pitchers to show something here.
Jim, so you're in Dublin to cover the Vikings. They're going to play against the Steelers on Sunday, and then the following week they go to London to play against the Browns. Your thoughts on this matchup against the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers? Is Rodgers, is his job just to try to distribute the ball? Is he much of a threat to you? It doesn't look like he's moving as well as he used to, but I suppose at 40 you kind of expect that.
Yeah, I don't think he's moving as well as he used to, obviously. I also think that he, I don't think he wants to get hit. And so, I think the Vikings with Addison back, with some, other than Donovan Jackson, the offense is going to be very healthy on Sunday. They've found out they can really get a running game going. Jordan Mason, I think the offense will do enough in this game. I think the key to the game is Flores. We know that Flores is really good at hassling young quarterbacks. Well, this defense might also be very good at hassling old quarterbacks who can't move very well and don't want to get hit. So I think the game will be decided in that duel. Flores trying to get pressure on Rodgers, trying to beat up Rodgers, and Rodgers trying to get rid of the ball accurately before he gets hit. I think that's where the game will be decided, and I would give the advantage to Flores in this one.
Jim, is DK Metcalf still a top receiver?
I think so. He can make any play you want, but his real value is making big plays down the field. Winning 50-50, outrunning people, winning 50-50 balls, posting people up. And I'm just not sure Rodgers is the perfect quarterback for him right now. Listen, he's going to be productive. He's a very good player. Rodgers is going to get him the ball one way or another. But I don't think the dream that the Steelers had of Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball deep to DK Metcalf for easy touchdowns, I'm not sure that's going to work out.
He's been shadowed by a specific corner in the past. That's not something the Vikings are going to do, right?
You never know. And here's the other thing. When we talk about that, we act like they're only going to have one plan. Flores is going to throw 8 different plans at him. And I think, you might see him doubled on some downs in situations. You might see singled up, maybe with Isaiah Rodgers, who's very fast, guarding him. Sometimes they might play a high-low zone. Sometimes they might pass from cornerback to safety. They're going to throw all kinds of different looks at him. So I don't think they'll just sign one cornerback to shadow him the whole game. I think it'll be a combination of coverages.
One of the things that we saw with Carson Wentz in that first game, and even though he didn't throw the ball a lot, he just had 20 passes, and when you're ahead by that much, you're going to run the ball quite a bit more. Is that he threw the ball to the tight ends quite a bit. He got Hockenson involved. He threw a touchdown pass to Oliver. Is that something that was a game plan, or is that something that Wentz just kind of looks for?
I think it's a combination. I think with McCarthy, McCarthy, I think, really wants to get the ball to Justin Jefferson. He knows that's kind of, his first step in making this offense work. And he also, wasn't great at judging how much time he had in the pocket. So I think a lot of times he's looking for Jefferson. If Jefferson wasn't there, then he was either pulling the ball down, or because he was playing without Christian Darrisaw, he was getting, pass rushers crashed in on him. It wasn't just him. It's a combination of inexperience and bad offensive line play. I think with Darrisaw back, Wentz had a little more time. I think he's also more comfortable going check, check, check down to the tight end. I also think some of the plays they called worked to get those tight ends involved because they thought they had favorable matchups. So it's always a blend of these things. I think, and one of the steps McCarthy needs to take whenever he does come back is, you do need to make your reads quickly. And yes, you're going to get rushed sometimes. Sometimes you're going to get hit. Sometimes you're going to get sacked. But good quarterbacks minimize the effect of the rush by getting rid of the ball quickly. And he's got tight ends who are big targets, who have favorable matchups. And, sometimes you might want to look at those guys first.
Jim, what do you think of, about these international games and specifically about the Vikings playing the Steelers in Dublin as opposed to at Pittsburgh, and then the Browns in London as opposed to playing them in Cleveland? Is this an advantage somehow for the Vikes?
Massive advantage. Pittsburgh has one of the biggest home field advantages, one of the rowdiest crowds you'll ever see. They also play in grass, same with Cleveland. Cleveland, not a good team, but they beat the Packers in Cleveland. And why did they do that? Well, in part because it's home field, and their defense gets an advantage. at home. So massive advantage for the Vikings to play two road games at neutral sites. And, you know, I think it's a cool thing they're playing in Europe. It's obviously a money grab. They're trying to get these TV markets interested in their product. But I like it. I flew over last night, and the airplane was packed with Viking fans and not just a few Steelers fans.
So the Viking fans tend to travel well, and I don't, yes. I don't think, have the Vikings ever played in Dublin before?
No, the Vikings have played in London, I think, three times, and they've never played in Dublin before. So I think Viking fans saw this on the schedule and just booked it. And Steelers fans travel very well as well. So I think this will be this will feel like an NFL game over here with this many, American fans.
And I'm curious to see if any of these Viking fans not only go to Dublin, but then also stay in London and go to that game too. I mean, that's kind of an interesting, unique experience.
It is. And now, because the Vikings have played in London before, it's not quite as special. And if you can only afford to go to one game, you'd probably choose the Dublin game. So my guess is there'll be fewer, but there also might be people who just worked out for their schedule better. They're going to go to one game or the other to go to the London game. So who knows?
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
Full Slate is up at TalkNorth.com. Don Mitchell and I have Leah B. Olson on as our links expert on her podcast. We also had Christy Plant of hockey fame on this week. We have a Chin Music show up with Lavelle and myself. We got three hockey shows. We got three Viking shows. We got Krasinski on the Wolves, Mark Rosen, Randy Shaver. Check it all out. TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan joining us from Dublin, where he's covering the Vikings this week. He'll be in London next week covering the Vikings when they play against the Browns. Jim, today is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, World and National News from ABC, followed by local news.